feel the presence of the Lord, to know that He is here and that we will worship Him, magnify Him in this service today. It's always a pleasure to gather together and lift up the name of the Lord as we have been doing. I'm going to ask you to remain standing for just another moment while we go to the Word of the Lord and see what God has for us in this particular service today. It's good to see all of you. If you're visiting with us, God bless you. Thank you for coming. Also, if you're here today and you haven't repented, if you haven't been baptized in water in Jesus' name, and if you have not received the Holy Ghost evidenced by speaking in other tongues, then you're lost. But you are able today to reach out and plug into the resources of God's power. Now, you know, there's been an old axiom that has been practiced and believed by the church a long time. And that's this. Number one, Sunday morning's usually a drag. Pop your eyes open. Shake yourself and wake up. Number two is, if you have a good service the night before, you got to kind of level off the next time you have church. Well, both of them are lies. We have what we want to have from the Lord. And I don't mind telling you that I don't feel like this should be just another Sunday morning service. Somebody break out the highlight. After the move of the Spirit that we enjoyed last night, our faith level should be soaring, not perching. We're not roosting. Oh, no. We need to be soaring. Well, I have a simple little thought today that I want to give to you. The Lord will help us. And I don't know if I'll do any preaching or not, but we'll see what the Lord has for this service. From the Epistle of 2 Peter, chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 3 and 4. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I wish we had time to examine that a little bit. There's something tremendous in that. He hath given unto us all things. Not some, not partially, not part. But He hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How has He given this to us? Through the knowledge of Him, our Jesus, that hath called us to glory and virtue. Whereby, now that simply means that by that knowledge are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That by these promises, that by these, ye might be partakers of the divine nature. My Lord, that's of God. The divine nature, that's God. That's the riches of God. That's the storehouse of treasures. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I'm going to ask Brother Barnes to pray for us today, that the Lord would help us.
Thank you, Father, for the Holy Ghost today. Oh, by the holy presence of God. Always standing with us. Because the church is the apple of your eye. It's the closest thing to your heart. And you're the closest thing to our heart. To our Lord and our God. Bless His church. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Well, everybody say praise the Lord. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Everybody say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I love you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Amen. Everybody awake now?
Amen.
Okay. I have just a very simple thought today that I want to share with you. The way I'm feeling right now, I don't think I'm going to do any preaching, but you never know just what will happen. But just a very simple something that the Lord has laid on my heart, and I want to try and share it with you today if He will help me and anoint me. And if He doesn't, then we're all in for a long siege, aren't we? But there's a little song that we used to sing quite a little bit. I haven't heard it in a while, but we used to sing it some. I'm standing on the promises. Ever remember singing that? Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. And today I'd like to speak to you from the thought of that course, simply standing on the promises. Standing on the promises. Now, these two scriptures that I've read to you, I guess, are more conducive to a Bible study than to any other type of service. And yet, they contain such words of power. If we could understand what Peter was writing about in these two verses, I would not be able to preach today, talk, or do anything. It would be as it was in the day when Solomon dedicated the temple. The Bible said the glory of the Lord came in such measure that the priest couldn't even minister. And if we could get an insight, a real spiritual insight into verses 3 and 4, then I'm telling you there'd be no way to minister. The only ministering that would be done by the Holy Ghost. Because these two verses contain every necessary ingredient for victory, for power, for joy, for life, for strength, for hope, for deliverance, for healing, for miracles, for signs, for wonders, whatever the need may be, they are contained within the framework of this thought, presented not to the world, but presented to the church. God hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that by that revelation, we have these exceeding great and precious promises. I'm going to talk about promises today. I'm going to give you the three general meanings of a promise and try to share with you just a little bit about how I feel. The first phase or condition or status of a promise is simply a statement that is either spoken or written that binds one to another. A statement written or spoken that binds one to another. Now, I'm missing my reader this morning. I needed him, but I guess he is needed somewhere else. So, I guess I'll have to read myself. But we see that exemplified in a wedding ceremony. And, of course, you know, we're living in an age where that's not considered important anymore, but in the sight of God, it is essential. I said it is essential. No man or woman will be saved and no union is sanctified outside the bonds of matrimony. That's right. Anything else is sin. Now, you may not find a lot of people that will tell you that, but you're looking at one that will. It's sin. Just plain old sin. Call it what you want, it's sin. And in that wedding ceremony, the ceremony, of course I'm not going to go through it, but the minister will turn to the woman, "Do you promise to love, cherish?" And my wife said, "It's not in there, but it is in there." And obey. It's there. Yes, it is. And then turn to the man and, "Do you promise to love, to cherish, to honor, to provide, keep, in sickness and in health, good times and bad times?" And this old thing of coming up after being married a few years and saying, "Well, we just can't live together," that's hellish. It's of the devil. You made your bed hard, now lie in it. Amen. Because there ain't no way to get out of it, because it's till death do you part. I don't care how many judges say you're free. You're not free. Except in the case of adultery. But that wedding ceremony binds a woman to a man. But it also binds a man to a woman. And the woman's not a slave. She's not a chattel. She's not a piece of property that you own. And a man that thinks that his masculinity's on the line if he is nice to his wife isn't much of a man at all. Men that think that the only way to prove that they're boss and not henpecked is to be Big Bad John are very weak and insecure. Well, I told you I wasn't going to preach. Because when you are in the place that God wants you to be in, you're going to show love. My wife's favorite scripture is found in Ephesians chapter 5, somewhere around verse 22. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. That's her favorite scripture. She reads it to me a lot. So you see, that binding ceremony, is it good just for one party? And you know, I never believed that a woman ought to look like Grandma Grunt, while a man looked like Rock Hudson. And I never believed that a man was free to do anything and everything he wanted to do, and yet that wife was a slave and had to be right there. When you're bound one to another, there's no right there on either part. It's a union. It's a sharing. But now, that doesn't mean a whole lot to us as far as our experience is concerned, does it? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Because John chapter 15 and verse 7 says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now we've got the union. He said, if ye abide in me, and my word abide in you. There's the marriage. There's the union. There's the joining together. There it is. He said, if you will, I will. And he said, when you come to that understanding, then anything you ask in my name, it shall be done unto you. Now that is a promise that God made unto us. And somebody said promises are just made to be broken. Oh no, when God speaks, it is forever settled. God never lies. God never varies from the truth. And when God speaks, let every man be a liar, but God is truth. And when God begins to speak, you can put your checkbook down and you can write as much on it as you want, because when God puts it in the bank, it's there, my friend. And he did not give you any loopholes. He didn't put any ifs, ands, or buts about it. He said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. In other words, if we get together on this, I'm bound to you and you are bound to me. We sometimes don't really understand our rightful position with the Lord. We are not outcasts. We are not orphans. We're not stepchildren. We're not foster children. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. He is our Father. And He said, if you'll do it, I'll do it. What do you mean? If you'll live right, if you'll walk straight, if you'll spit right, if you'll look right, if you'll listen right, if you'll live right and you'll be right, then I'm going to be in you. And if I'm in you and you're in me, then anything you ask, I'm going to do it. Why? Because I'm bound to you and you are bound to me. Do you know that My wife can write as many texts as I can. Sad to say, but fellas, it's true. She don't even have to ask me. She can go uptown and she can get that book and she can write a check anywhere she wants to. And you know what? I got to pay for it. Yes, I do. Now, it's always amusing to watch these young girls that are about to get married. I'm telling off on my wife. She'll be laying for me, but that's all right. I got the last word. I'm in a very unique position, you see. I've always got the last word. Most of you men don't have that, but I do. Because I'm going to be up here. She jumps on me, I'll tell it from up here. Besides that, you know, I'm also in another unique position. I preached a revival many years ago, and in that revival, a young lady received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and several years after that, I married her. So not only am I her husband, I'm her father in the Lord. So that does put her under me, don't it? But you know, before we got married, and all young girls do this, I come across something in my Bible. She had been writing some things and a list of things she won't do, and she just, when she got through, slipped in my Bible. And I looked, and there was nothing but one whole page that was written out. Miseries, Terry L. Smith. She is practicing. She is practicing. She's getting the feel of that. And I'm going to tell you, she learned it good. Because she flat evermore can sign that name on the bottom of that little piece of paper. She does a good job of it. But do you know what? I'm bound to her. And no matter where she goes and no matter how much she writes it for, I got to pay for it. Thank God, though, for a good wife with good common sense. I don't mean you just need to go hog wild. But I'm going to tell you, these men that I better not get on that, Hannah. You ladies ought to say, preach it. Because I'm about to help y'all out here. Well, anyway, let's go on. But I'm bound to her. And whatever, you know, she'd go out and buy a new car under this law. Yeah, she don't have to have me. And I tell you what, if she does, she just, well, drive on. But do you know, if she wanted to, she could do it. Do you know your wife could do the same thing, and you could fuss and cuss and turn red in the face and scream and holler and lay down on the ground and throw a temper tantrum fit, and you couldn't do a thing about it because the law says she can do it. Now, you ladies don't get no ideas, would you? But you know why they can do it? You're bound to them. And they're bound to you. And when she acts, she's acting for me. And when I act, I'm acting for her. Oh, isn't that a strange thing? Man, that's crazy. Oh, no. That's just what Jesus said when he said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will. In other words, you go out and write any kind of check you want to write, and I'll back it up. I'll cover the charges on it. My Lord, if we could get that in our feeble brains, that he is with us. He is bound to me. He is bound to my desire. He is bound to my faith. And that means that if I stand in faith, believe it, whatever it is. I don't care if it looks impossible. I don't care if it seems impossible. If I believe it, then God is obligated to do it. I said, God's obligated to do it. You know, I'll never forget. A friend of mine was preaching one night, and a deaf individual come up to be prayed for. And so, this preacher just stuck both fingers in the ears like this, you know. And the pastor was standing on the platform. And this preacher said, Lord, if you don't heal this man right now, and turn around and point at that pastor, said, that pastor will never preach another sermon. Ooh, aren't you glad I don't operate that way? Yeah, they don't mind standing on their own faith, but they don't want me fooling around with it, do they? But he was serious. I'm telling you, he meant business. He just said, I mean it, God. He said, if you don't heal this man right now, that pastor will never preach another sermon. You know what God had to do? He had to cover that check. Because it was His gospel. Because the pastor wasn't the man that said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. The evangelist wasn't the man that said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. It was God that said that. So all the evangelist was doing was writing a check on it. God, you got to do it. If you don't do it, then we're not going to be able to preach anymore, because how can we preach the gospel that you proclaimed and wrote and anointed if you don't back it up? You know, if we could get that understanding of God, and I'm not talking about something wild and foolish and apart from the Word. I'm talking about built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. I'm talking about standing on the promises, not on your whims and desires. I'm talking about standing on the Word of God. That means that whatsoever I desire, if I'm a living right, whoa. I said, if I'm a living right, you around now fooling around, playing around, and just acting like you're tiptoeing through the tulips, and you in today and you out tomorrow. You're yo-yo, you're up and you're down, you're swinging doors, you're in and you're out. Nobody knows where you are, nobody knows what you are, nobody knows whether you're in or out. Then you can ask all day long and it's just a wind to blow it. But when you're faithful and consistent, and you're faithful in every measure of the gospel program, then when you come to that place where you need to make a purchase by faith, all you've got to do is say it. And when you say it, God will back it up, because He said, if you ask it, then it shall be done. We have any English teachers here today? We have any English teachers here today? Got one. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's been a long time since I studied it, but that's what I'd have got my doctorate in had I gone on, but since I didn't, and you'd never know it by listening to me talk. But anyway, shall is imperative. Is that not right? Now, shall means there is no alternate. You know, I'll never forget, when we was little bitty kids, Dad'd be out mowing the yard, we pestered the life out of him to run that lawnmower when we was too little to push it. Daddy, let us mow! Oh, let me, Daddy, let me! We three boys would fight over who's going to get to mow the yard. But then we got up a little bigger, and we could push it. And Mom would say, the yard needs mowing. Oh, let Doug do it. I don't have time. Let Jim do it. We didn't want to do it. And Dad would say, I want one of you boys to mow the yard tomorrow. We'd get busy and we'd forget it. Dad'd come in and look at that yard and he'd call us three together and he said, now, you shall mow this yard. He'd say it very quietly. Because my dad's the type of man, when he gets angry, he gets quiet. The quieter he speaks, the madder he is. He'd look at us three boys and he'd say, you shall. You know what we knew? We better get with the program. Because there was no choice. There was no alternate. It was time to crank the mower up. If it wouldn't run, you better find a pair of scissors and go out there and cut that grass. Because when Daddy come in the next evening, if that grass hadn't have been mowed, there'd have been judgment falling. Now here's what Jesus said. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Will is permissive, but shall is imperative. And when you use the word shall, that means your strings run out. That means there's no place else to go. That means there's no other road to take. That means it's this way or nothing. And what He's saying is that if you are right, and you're living in me and I'm a living in you, then there is no other way. There is no other alternate. It shall be done unto you. That don't excite some of you. Your exciter's broke. If that don't move some of you, you need the Holy Ghost. Do you realize what God is saying? Not what Brother Barnes, Brother Braswell, Brother Smith said. That's Jesus Christ. Some promises. And you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to stand on the promises. You know, there's different kinds of standing. There's standing. And then there's standing. There's that casual slouch. And then there's that standing that's ready for whatever. Now, I'm not just slouching on the promises. I'm a standing. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I want it. And I don't care what my eyes see. I don't care what my ears hear. I don't care what my flesh feels. I discard all of that. And I'm a standing on the promises. Because He said, if you will, I will. And when He said it, I believe it. Well, let's go on a little bit. The next phase of a promise is simply an indication of what may be expected. An indication of what may be expected. Now, the first is binding one to the other. Now, an indication of what may be. You know, you look at the sky and if the sun's shining, you say, it's a pretty day. You look up at the sky and you got clouds in the sky and you know, they look kind of black and menacing. You say, you know, we might get a little rain. You look at the sky and it's an indication of the weather. You can look in the springtime, see all the trees and flowers and all budding and bringing forth buds, and you say, well, it looks like spring. It's an indication. You can go in the winter and you can watch the leaves fall off the trees and things begin to turn brown and die, and thank God the grass does too, and don't have to mow it no more. And you can say, well, looks like winter's coming. It's an indication of what may be expected. Now, there's also another kind of indication. I hate to mention this because of several reasons, but I'm going to mention it anyway. As a politician, man, that politician, to listen to him talk before he's elected, if it were any indication, he's going to give everybody a pot of gold, a brand new Cadillac to drive, and a mansion to live in. You elect me and it's going to be nothing but easy street. Now, Brother Patterson, I'm not talking to you today. But I'm going to be honest with you. 99.9% of politicians are not very dependable. But we do have an indication of what to expect. What did he say?
Verily, verily, I say unto you.
Now, that's not the name of his daughter either, verily. That means certainly, surely, steadfastly, I say unto you.
He that believeth on me.
He that believeth on me.
The works that I do.
The works that I do.
Shall he do also.
Shall he do also. Now, that's great enough, man. If we didn't have anything else, that'd be powerful, wouldn't it?
Right.
But he didn't stop there. What did he say?
And greater
works. And greater works.
Than these shall you do.
Shall you do.
Because I go unto the
Because I go unto my Father. Now, what did Jesus do? Did he do? Tell you what he did. He told the lame man one day, pick up your bed and walk.
Yeah.
You know what the lame man did? He picked up his bed and walked. Last night I talked about it. He spit and made him a mud ball and smeared it on the eyes of the blind man. He said, go wash. You know what the fella did? He went and he washed and he came to see it. He stopped the funeral procession one day and the mother was weeping and crying because that was her boy. And he said, get up!
Yeah.
You know what the dead boy did? He got up. He walked to the tomb of Lazarus one day and he said, Lazarus, come forth! You know what Lazarus did? He come forth.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
The man with the crippled limbs, he straightened. He healed the sick. He made the blind eyes to see. He opened the deaf ears that they could hear. He made the dumb tongue speak. He brought the dead back to life again. He made those that were twisted and crippled in legs whole and they walked again. He created the new hand and system in the body for everything to be all right. Now, that is what Jesus did. And what Jesus did is an indication of what the church is going to do. I'm telling you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also.
Amen. Amen.
Now, do you believe Jesus? Some people think they know more than God knows. Because they say, oh, he don't heal no more. Since when did you become God and say he don't heal no more? I tell you what the Bible said. The Bible said, the works I do shall you do also.
Yeah.
You can believe that mealy-mouthed preacher if you want to, but I believe Jesus Christ. Yeah. And he never rescinded it and he never revoked it. There's never any place in the Bible where he withdrew that promise. That promise is an indication of what is to be expected. You know, I don't like to have what's announced as healing services. You know, saying, now Friday night's going to be a healing service. Every night's a healing service.
Right.
I was preaching one place and the pastor kept on and said, I'm going to tell you, if we announce a healing service, we'll pack the building out, we'll have people come. Yeah, but they ought to come anyway. People always come for the fish and the loaves when they won't come for the preaching. They'll come for the dinner on the ground, but they won't come for the preaching.
Yeah.
I finally said, all right, have it your way. Do what you want to do. So he announced Friday. So we got a call from the hospital. We got a patient in here that's dying of emphysema. Been on a machine for the last several years of her life and in the last stages, and she's dying. And she heard your announcement on the radio and insist that she be brought. Now, you know this is not our regular standard policy. Well, so what? You ain't doing her any good, are you? She's hiring an ambulance and she's going to come. She said, what time are you going to be praying for the sick? Well, right after I get through preaching. Well, when are you going to get through preaching? Who knows? But, you know, the Lord impressed me and said, tell them to bring her at 9 o'clock. So I told the pastor, I said, now, I'm going to pray for her at 9 o'clock, so you better give me the floor early. So he did. At 7:35, he gave me the floor. That's right. He didn't believe in them long preliminaries. And at 9 o'clock, sure enough, they brought her in. The attendants come, rolled her down the aisle. They had her bottles and her tubes and all them things stuck in her. She looked like some kind of space creature. They rolled her in. The line was already forming for the sick. And I said, we'll just let this woman come on in. They brought her on down to the front. And there she was. Man, Lord, we in trouble. Because she's going to be the first one to be prayed for. And if you don't do nothing for her, we can forget the rest of them. That's why it always irritates me when the devil sends people up that's not going to be healed. And then you pray for them and everybody else says, oh, well, they didn't get their healing, so God ain't going to heal nobody else either. What y'all so quiet for? But Jesus said, and I was standing on the promises that night, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. So they brought that woman down, and I took the awl, went out there, talked to her just a minute, what little bit I could, because she could barely talk. She's just gasping oxygen mask, all this medication going into her. And I said, in Jesus' name, I just wrote a check.
Yeah.
Heal this woman. When I prayed for her, she sat up, pulled the mask off of her, pulled the tubes out of her body, and sent the stretcher and the ambulance on their way. And for the first time, it was either in 5 or 7 years, she had been on a machine. She would just drew and was right at a paper mill area, and it stunk. But she said, this is the sweetest breath that I have ever drawn in all of my life. Well, if I hadn't have been able to breathe on my own for 5 or 7 years, it would have been sweet to me too.
Amen.
And God healed her. God healed her, not 30 days later, but God healed her then. God had to heal her because he had given us an indication of what was to be expected. We had over 150 that was waiting to be prayed. The next woman to be prayed for was stone deaf. She couldn't hear thunder. And so, while I was praying for the sick, I had someone come to the piano and the organ, and they weren't playing Father Alone either.
Yeah.
I told them, get with it. We're not burying the dead, we're resurrecting the dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah.
And they cranked that organ up, and that woman playing that organ, she knew how to make that thing talk. She put it up as high as it'd go. That don't bother me. I'm not nervous. You got a good case of the Holy Ghost, it won't make you nervous either. She cranked it up, and man, they was getting with it. And I was a praying for it. Next woman was stone dead. I stuck my fingers in her ear and prayed, oh God, heal her now. And there was a popping sound, just kind of like a little, like somebody blowed a bubble, you know, piece of bubble gum, popped it. That's the way it sounded. And the woman heard, and the first thing she did when she heard was she complained about the music being too loud.
Yeah.
I just don't understand it. If I'd have been deaf, I wouldn't have cared if they'd have played a trumpet right 2 inches from my ear. Just to hear it would be a beautiful thing to me.
Yeah. Amen.
But you know, people are funny. I've always said it's not noise that makes people nervous. It's the kind of noise.
Yeah.
You don't believe it? You get out there on the street sometime, listen to them cars passing by with them radios turned on, them stereos on. Friend, I couldn't be within 30 feet of the thing. It'd drive me nuts. So it's not the noise. It's the kind of noise. That kind of noise bothers me. But the noise in here don't bother me. You can shout, scream, and holler, and carry on, and it don't make me nervous at all. Because I know what you're shouting about. I know what it's all about. There's a joy there. There's a peace. There's an understanding that's there. But I don't know, I guess there must have been 20 or 30 manifestable, seeable, tangible miracles that took place that night. And all because we stood on the promises of God. It's an indication of what we can expect. Listen, when we get into the realm of faith, when we get into the spirit of faith, when we let that faith turn loose in our life, then there is no limit to what God can do. Because He said, what I've done, you're going to do. And not only are you going to do what I've done, you're going to do greater things. And that just means we're going to be able to reach in areas and do things and go places that He was not physically able to go. We are able to do greater or diverse things because of the mass of modern communication systems, all of those inventions that we enjoy. But here we are today on Sunday morning. We had a powerful surge of the Spirit last night. The virtue of the Holy Ghost flowed in this building like falling rain. The power of the Spirit goes through this building. I saw angelic forces as they massed together and looked over the balcony of heaven to see the glory of God manifested. And we come back today. We shouldn't be primed. We shouldn't have to be pumped. There should be something within our heart that reaches out. It's an indication. Oh God, what you've done, you're going to do it again. And you're going to do greater things. And we're going to see your glory in action. Oh, God. Now, let me read this. Let me get in this one last phase, because really this is what I've been wanting to talk about anyway. Read for me John 14 and 14. The last phase of a promise is simply to give one's word without reservation.
Right.
To give one's word without reservation.
Yes.
Did Jesus ever do that? I think He did. Let's see if He did. What did He say?
If you shall ask anything.
Now, if you shall ask anything, 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 anything. Anybody knows what anything means? Sickness, finances, mental, emotional, spiritual. Covers it all. If ye shall ask anything, how?
In my name.
In my name. That's the secret. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
yes.
Jesus,
yes.
Jesus, Jesus. That's the secret. If ye shall ask anything in my name,
I will do it.
Do what? What you ask?
Yes.
Hey, I think that's powerful.
That's powerful.
You must not believe that. That is the giving of His word without reservation. There's no if, and, or but there.
No,
it's not there. There's no loophole there. There's no bridge to run back across when you don't get what you want. No. He said, if ye shall ask anything, 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 anything in my name,
You know what he did? He gave his word without reservation. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stand on the promises. I'm going to stand on the promises. I'm going to say, let hell sell, let doubt fall, let fear rise. That I'm going to stand on the promises. I'm going to say, Lord, you said it. It's not my word. It's not my gospel. It's not my truth. It's yours, and I'm a standing.
My Lord, have mercy.
I believe it.
Now, it's hard for me sometimes to understand people. That's strange, isn't it? But when I read something like that, I feel like going wild. If anybody ought to have any faith, it ought to be people that's repented, been baptized in Jesus' name, and got the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and know they got it because they talked in tongues when they did get it. If anybody ought to believe the Word of God, it ought to be us who have the Word dwelling in us. If anybody ought to be partakers of the divine nature, it ought to be us. He gave His Word without reservation. Well, you don't like that? Well, look at this one. What did He say?
For when God had made promise to Abraham...
When God made promises to Abraham...
Because he could swear by no
greater... Because he had nothing any greater to swear by...
He swear by himself.
He swear by himself or by his words. Right. Saying...
Surely...
Surely...
Blessing I will bless thee.
Blessing I will bless thee.
Yes.
And...
Multiplying...
Multiplying I will multiply thee.
Mm-hmm.
So...
After he had patiently
endured,
he obtained
the promises.
Hallelujah.
Okay, read on.
For men verily swear by the greater.
Men look for something else to swear by that's greater than themselves.
And an oath for confirmation.
And an oath is a confirmation.
It's to them an end of all strife.
You quit arguing about it when you get something bigger than yourself to swear by, okay?
Wherein God...
God...
Willing more abundantly... To show unto the heirs
of the promises...
The immutability...
Or the infallibility of His counsel...
Confirmed it by oath! Yes.
My. God was willing to let you know how much He did mean business. Doing what now?
Yeah. That by
two immutable things, and those two things are the promise and the oath. And immutable means it cannot be moved, it cannot be dissuaded, it cannot be destroyed, it cannot be destroyed. So that by the promise and by the oath,
in which it was impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation. Yes, hallelujah.
Oh, who ought
to have fled?
We have run for refuge.
Yes,
fled for refuge. We have run to what?
To lay hold upon the hope.
Just let me get a hold of it.
Yeah, yeah, hallelujah.
Just let me get my hands on it.
Yes.
I have fled for refuge. I have run to lay hold.
Yes.
Read on.
Upon the hope
set before us. Read on a little bit more.
Which hope we have as
this
an anchor.
This hope is an anchor.
Of the soul.
Oh,
hallelujah. Oh, yes. Yes.
Both what?
Sure.
Sure.
And steadfast. Oh, hallelujah.
And what?
Which entereth into that within the veil.
Which goes into whatever it was that was in the veil.
Yeah.
What was behind the veil? What was behind the veil in the holiest of holies? What was behind the veil, friends? Well, don't nobody know? It was God. The presence of God. The glory of God. The power
of God. Now, because we have laid hope on that hold, which is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, now we have entered into that which was within the veil. Oh, we have entered into God. We are not in a secondary position, but we have entered into God.
My Lord have mercy. If that don't light your fire, you're wet wood. I was working offshore many years ago before we married, you know, trying to make enough money to get married on. I was working on an old converted World War II LST, converted for all barge use, all field work. They built a heliport onto that ship for the copters coming in and out. I was a pusher on a paint crew. Heliport, and of course the heliport was out over the water, and the only way to paint it was suspended cables with the suspended plank there, and of course close to the rail, you know, proper procedure was to keep your safety belt on at all time, and when you empty your gun, go up to the top of the deck, walk down the stairs, and fill your gun up, and come back up to that. I had a boy by the name of Tommy DeWight that was very lazy. He'd empty his gun, and he'd unfasten his safety belt. He'd reach out over the edge of the planking, and he'd hand the gun to whoever sitting there and say, "Fill this up for me." I kept telling him, "Tommy, you're making a mistake, boy. You're going to fall. I've done this before. I can do this. I'm telling you, Tommy, you're going to fall." And he painted that area, and he moved a little bit farther, you know, and he had... Every time he moved, he had to reach a little bit. Oh, they're over the edge of that. And, you know, we're out in the Gulf. And the cook fed the sharks the scraps. You could just watch them swimming around there. We'd catch them and caught some 8-10 feet long, you know, and knock them in the head and then throw them back and watch the other shark eat them. All right there where we was. Tommy kept moving and handing that gun over. You know, you hand that gun over and it's fairly light. When it's empty, you fill it up. It's a little heavier. Finally, he moved and the only way he could hand that gun over, he was so lazy. He got a hold of the end of that cable and reached out over there and was barely able to hand that gun to that fella to fill it up. Fella filled it up and handed it back to Tommy and it overbalanced him. And he started falling. Sharks swimming around under there. And he was falling, and the only way he could do, he reached back like this and grabbed a hold of that cable. And the cable that was holding the steel planking up was tied out to about 6 feet, was trailing underneath that. And he got a hold of that cable, and of course, his fall was so great that he slid down that cable, cut the hand to the bone, and peeled the meat off of it, pulled his shoulder out of socket. Messed that boy up so bad, but he held on. Because he looked down there and saw them fins. He is a crying. I mean, he is a boo-hoo crying. He is a hurting. Hold on. Blood just a gushing down him like everything. Dislocated his shoulder. Ripped all of those muscles and tendons. That just really ripped him up good. Hanging, dangling in midair over the water. One of the fellows standing by with a life ring said, "Go ahead and drop, Tommy. We got the ring here. We'll pull you in." He said, "Uh-uh. You come up here and get me, because I ain't going to let go." You know why he wasn't going to let go? Because he didn't like what was down there. And he is afraid that he dropped in there and him bleeding. It didn't matter how quick they were with that life ring. He's afraid he's going to get bit. And he probably would have. Fellow said again, "Oh, Tommy, go ahead. We can have you out there before they knew you there." He said, "Ain't no way." He said, "You come up here and get me, because I ain't a turning loose." When we got him, his hand was locked. We could not loose his hold on the cable. We had to take some cutters
and cut the cable. And he took a piece of that cable with him to the hospital. He couldn't turn it loose. I don't know. I'm just telling you, he had a death grip on it. He didn't intend to fall. I said, he didn't intend to fall. He didn't intend to let go. He had a hold of it, and regardless of the price, and it cost him a great price, a withered, useless arm today, it cost him a great price for laziness. But he held on, and they had to surgically do something to his hand to get him to release the piece of cable. And today that hand is formed into a hard knot just like this, as though he's still holding on. I wish that somehow, some of us that are in this thing and have this thing abiding in our heart, I wish that we realize that hope that we have, an anchor of the soul, that we have fled for refuge to lay hold upon. I wish we could get a death grip on it, Brother Barnes. I wish we could get such a hold on it that the devil couldn't prize us loose from it, that our doubt couldn't dissuade us, that our fear couldn't persuade us, that we'd have a death grip on it, that no matter what come or what went, we'd hold on. Because if we did, then we would have that hope both sure and steadfast, and we'd enter into God Himself. We would not have anything to worry about, because He said, if ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. All we've got to do is understand He give His word without any reservation. So you know what I'm doing? I'm holding. You know what I'm holding to? I'm holding to the Word. I'm holding to the Word. What Word I'm holding to? The Word that He gave me without reservation. Without reservation. Without reservation. Without reservation. Without reservation. I'm standing on the promises. Tonight, you be here. There's going to be a display of the supernatural. Now, if you don't want to see it, just lay out. You're going to lay out when the rapture takes place anyway. But if you want to see a display of the supernatural, you'll be here tonight. But I'm going to put a little bug in your ear. There could be a display of the supernatural right now. If somebody somewhere in this audience that's dangling would say, I'm not going to let go. God, You will have to come get me. I ain't letting go, God. You will have to come get me. I ain't letting go, God. You will have to come get me. You're going to have to come get me. Oh, yes, it's here. Yeah, but it hurts me. That don't matter. Endure a little hope. Endure a little hurt for the hope that is set before us. And let's enter into that which is within the veil. Let's get a hold of it. Let's say, God, I ain't going to give up. I ain't going to turn back. I ain't going to let go. I'm going to believe You. I'm going to believe You. I'm going to believe You. If God never heals another individual, if God never fills another individual with the Holy Ghost, if I never see a move of the Spirit again, if I never see another display of the supernatural, if I never see another sign or wonder, if I never see any of the miraculous touch of God anymore, you know what? I'm going to go to my grave still believing that He's the Savior, that He's the healer, that He's the miracle worker, the sign giver. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to turn back. I'm not going to be dissuaded. I'm going to hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Somebody's a holding on today. Somebody's a holding on today. You know what God waits on to display the miraculous? He waits on that spontaneous reaction that comes from way down deep inside. And when somebody begins to feel that stirring of their faith, and they feel like, I'm a holding on, I'm a holding on. And all of a sudden, while they're holding on, they feel something tingle down their spine. They feel something leap within their heart. If in that moment, instead of waiting, you leap forth and stretch forth, there is no telling what God would do for you. All you gotta do is believe. Stand on the promises. Stand on the promises. Oh, come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, okay. This woman suffered a heart attack, blood clot that's still there, covered with gristle behind the heart. She's not able to exert herself or strain in any way, and not really able to worship the Lord. She said every time she tries to worship the Lord, she has chest pains. Now, is that the will of God? No, it's not, and I can prove it to you scripturally, because the scripture says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So it's the will of God to worship and praise Him. And anything that says any different is the devil. Now, several weeks ago, this woman had arthritis so bad she could barely walk. We prayed for her and the Lord healed her. And the next day she went and spent all day walking the malls and the shopping areas there in Shreveport. And has had no more trouble with her legs because of the arthritis. So if God could do that for her, He can heal her of this condition, can't He? Amen. Let's believe the Lord now. Amen. I want Brother Braswell to anoint her. Let's hold on with faith today. Let's believe the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I curse this condition, the affliction that's in this body. I pray now that you would loose her from it. The pain and discomfort has got to go. Let the healing power of your virtue, Jesus, flow through her. In Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. This woman has a back problem. Pain is very severe now. She said it's becoming unbearable, getting worse every day. And she's in a lot of pain right now. Brother Browse was going to anoint her. Here's what's going to happen. The Holy Ghost is going to touch her. It's going to send her somewhere around the nape of her neck. And when she feels it, it's going to be like a warm touch. Almost like somebody's placed a heating pad there. And then from that warmth, there's going to flow like liquid has been released down her spine. And when that warmth flows down her spine, the pain is going to recede as the warm feeling moves. It's going to drive the pain ahead of it until it's taken out of her spine and out of her back, and God wants to heal her today and will. If we will believe Him, He will do all things. You believe that today, sister? When we lay hands on you, you're going to feel it. In the name of Jesus Christ, You said whatsoever I should ask in Your name, that You would do it. I am asking You in Your name, Jesus, to heal this woman now. Let the warmth of thy virtue touch her. And let the flow of thy spirit purge the pain out of this body. And not only the pain, but the source of the pain. And the root of the pain, I command it to go now. In the name that's above every name, heal her. Oh, Holy Spirit, I believe you. Yield to it now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, church, let's believe the Lord now. Let's believe the Lord now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I believe you. You know the condition of the mind. You know the condition of the body. Lord, there's nothing that we can do. You are the only hope. I pray in thy name, Jesus, that you would touch this man today. Work according to thy power and thy mercy. In the name that's above every name, I pray and believe you for it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come on, church, let's worship the Lord now. Let's believe him today. Amen. This place has had some surgery. The result of this surgery has left her right hand, right arm a little bit incapacitated. Brings a little pain, a little discomfort, inability to use it properly. I feel like the Lord wants to heal her right now. Will you believe with us? Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that you would heal her instantly. Take the pain and discomfort away. I curse it, bind it, and cast it out of this body and restore unto her the full use, ability, and dexterity of this hand and arm. I thank you for it. I feel that virtue, Lord. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I feel it, Sister Pace. Believe the Lord for it today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. How you feeling, Sister King? Is it gone? It's gone. Amen. Thank God for it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you for it. I told you before, the devil's a liar. He's a scoundrel. He's low down. And he don't belong anywhere but hell. Now, it really aggravates me when the devil goes to tormenting the saints of the Lord. That really bothers me. Makes me mad, just tell you the truth. I don't like it one little bit. We're going to pray for this woman. And we're going to ask the Lord to bind that old oppressing, tormenting spirit. Because what that old spirit's doing is it's creating a nervous condition in this body, and her body's reacting by breaking out and having all kind of discomfort there, and it's going to go today. Amen. Devil, you are a tormentor, a deceiver, a liar. But you cannot stand when the name of Jesus Christ is called. You must submit to that name. I charge thee in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Ghost, torment her no more. Let the peace of God overshadow this mind and these nerves and touch her with healing power in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Accept it today, Sister Jinx. Accept it right now. Let peace flow like a river through this body. In Jesus' name. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Oh, I feel the presence of the Lord here today. Let's lift our hands once again and worship Him. God, you're great. You're great. You're great. You're great. Hallelujah. 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 This is Sunday morning. I know what it is. It's Sunday morning. It's 20 minutes to 12 o'clock. I know what time it is. But I tell you what, there's a supernatural move that's here today. There's a move of the Spirit that's here today. Amen. God's in this place to perform His will, to do His work. Let's lift our hands once again. Let's not be weary in worshiping the Lord. In the name of Jesus. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider, our strength and our God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray now, see the need of this family. Understand what we do not understand. And let the Holy Ghost open doors and move in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe you. Let your divine spirit overshadow this home and this marriage. Work by the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Now, Lord, this woman's on a dead end street. She stands at the brink, precipice today, from which there's no return. The devil has tormented her mind until she's nearly out of her mind. God, you see that she's so upset that she doesn't even know really how to touch you at this particular time. She's so depressed and tortured and tormented in mind that her faith in thee is shaken. Really, she's not capable of having any faith today because of her mental condition. It seems that the devil has oppressed and tormented her.
It is no sin.
I don't like it, Lord. You don't either. In the name of Jesus Christ, I take authority over this depression. I take authority over this tormenting spirit. I take authority over this oppressor. Devil, I command you, loose her. Torment her mind no more. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that peace comes to this life. I feel it coming, Lord. I feel a peace coming, Lord. A quietness. A settledness that can only come from you. I feel that flowing, Lord. I want to thank you, Father. You're bringing peace to this mind right now. Sister Terrell, I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ. Let go of this thing today. Entertain it no more. But put it in the hands of the Lord. And be faithful in your own heart and your own life. And God is working peace in your life now. But you've got to accept it. If you don't accept it, this will do you no good. I charge you in Jesus' name. Accept it now. In Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord.
What He's done for us,
what He's done for others,
He'll you
surely do for you. He stands waiting. He'll do just what you need now. It's just no secret. No secret.
What God can do.
Lord, you see this man's sister? She sighs. And there's nothing that science can do for her. There's nothing that the medical doctor in the world can do. She dies. There's no hope there, Lord. There's absolutely no hope. She died. But this man, her brother, comes today. His faith is reaching out to thee. Surely, Lord, you'll see this man's face. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that you would move in this situation. Let the power of your Spirit work, move in Jesus' name. Comfort this man in his mind and heart. In Jesus' name.
What God can do, it is those.
Devil, you are a destructor. You are a destroyer. I don't like what you've done in this life. I don't like the circumstances in this home. I rise against them. I don't like the deceiving spirits that have entered into this household. They're unclean. They're unholy. They're against thy name and thy word, Lord. You drove the money changers out of the temple because they defiled it. You can drive these spirits out of this home. I curse them. Pronounce the judgment of the Spirit against them. And that they torment this mind no more. That you would bring a sterile peace to her life. Loose her from the depression and from the oppression, from the persecution by these spirits. And I find that spirit that it lift its hand no more against her. And that if it does, the judgment of the Lord would fall. We have come to this time, Lord, when we've got to have the answer. When we've got to have the answer. Now I want you to comfort her today. Comfort her with peace. Comfort her with strength. My Lord, I feel the touch in Jesus' name. Accept it today. Amen.
It is no secret what God can do.
Lord, this is a faithful warrior. She served in the ministry for years. And she's been faithful to you and steadfast in thy word and thy work. I want you to reward her faithfulness today. I rebuke the condition that's in this body, centered in this head. I curse the affliction and pray now for release from these things. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
It is no secret what God can do. It is no secret what God can do.
Now, God, it hasn't been many weeks ago that we prayed for an individual with this condition. You healed instantly. Right in the midst of one of these attacks, you healed. And that individual has remained healed. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I curse this affliction. I command it to loose its hold on her. And the root of it has got to be. I believe you in the name of Jesus Christ. Heal her today. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it.
Healing for you. Pardon you,
Now, God, you see this woman. You see the irregular heartbeat. Now, you made the heart. I didn't. You made it to beat right. You healed Sister Davis at Shreveport of this very same thing. You stopped her heart one night. You started it again, and it's beat regularly ever since. I want you to do the same thing for this woman. I'm just asking you, and you said you'd do it, Lord. So it's not my word, it's your word. So I proclaim it done in Jesus' name. Now, God, you have heard the report of this doctor that said it's very probable that she's got multiple sclerosis. That's his report. But you're the great physician. I want your report, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I curse this affliction. I cast it away from this body. That healing come to her. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Church, let's lift our hands and hearts and worship the Lord today. Nothing they can do for him, Lord.
What is done,
but you created the blood system of the body, the arteries and the veins, and you created them to function properly. You can unblock this artery.
Yes, God.
And I want you to convict him, condemn him, arrest him, and say this song. Devil, you are a liar. You are the oppressor of souls and the tormentor of minds. You attack our weakest point. Now you see this daughter standing for this mother. And this mother has known thee, O Lord, hath than a possessor of thy spirit. I curse the chains that hold her, the spirits that bind her. Let there be a work of conviction and drawing in her life in the name of Jesus Christ.
What is done for others?
Hallelujah.
It is no secret.
Lord, there are some things that strike great fear in our hearts when we hear. I guess sugar diabetes brings as much fear to us as anything could. This woman has it. But you are the healer. Let virtue flow from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. In Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord.
If part of you, it is no secret.
Spirit of healing, I pray, flow through this body. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask it, believing you, and now do the work. Holy Spirit, I thank you for it. Jesus' name.
Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith. God.
Now, Lord, you see the condition that's in this body. You see the harm that's been done to the nerves that caused the muscles to respond. The hardship that is created in this life. Let there be a flow of virtue. Start now in this arm and in this back. And let healing come to her. Restore unto her the full use of her arm. And take away this discomfort and pain that she experiences. In the name of Jesus Christ. For the glory of God. Thank you for it. Thank you for it.
In God for deliverance has faith in God. Oh, your faith.
You are the peace giver. For you anointed your servant to ride a long time ago that you were the Prince of Peace. Now where there is peace, there is an absence of turmoil. So, peace giver today, come to this life and to this home in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord.
Faith can move mountains. Oh, mountains of fear.
You see the fear of this mind always this kind of circumstance there is. Now I curse the spirit that wants to afflict her again with this. Bind it and cast it away from this body. And pronounce a healing for her in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Amen.
So why don't you try?
Everybody sing it one more time. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Oh, faith can move mountains. Oh, mountains of fear and of doubt. Oh, faith can move mountains. Oh, so why don't you try your faith now?
Let's everybody lift our hands and thank the Lord for what He's done in this place today. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the faith that has risen in the hearts and the lives of many that is in this building. Oh, Lord God of heaven, we accept that which you have done today. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, that which your word has spoken, we're holding on to that today. We're holding on to your word. Oh, we believe it now. We will see the end result of your will being done in the lives of these today. We claim it now for the glory of God. We claim it now and call it done in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. What a flow of the Spirit. What a move of the power of God. It's here. All we've got to do is plug into it and it'll flow like a river of living water to your soul.